Ladies.
Are we on the air now?
We're back on the air. It has been an interesting week, folks. Stay with us. We're just gearing up here. I apologize. We've had a very interesting week. We've been hacked into pretty badly, and we just got back up on the air the other day, late last night, and we've had to have a little fun with the scripts and some of the hosts, and things have been kind of a little quirky here, so bear with us. Wynn, are you there?
I'm here, Don. Are we on the air?
We're on the air.
We're on the air. Welcome to the Don and Wynn Show. This is Wynn Free and my co-host, Don Newsome, the founder of BBS.
I wouldn't brag about that anymore.
What's that?
I said, I don't think I'm going to brag about that anymore.
You're not. For those of you that have been paying attention to BBS, it's been off the air for 2 days, right?
Yeah, we've had a little fun with, reactors, people reacting to our world. Isn't that nice of them? We're giving them something to do.
You know, your voice is fuzzy again tonight.
Ah, let me see if we can fix that.
Don, I wish you would get a good telephone.
How's that? Is that a little better?
That's a little better.
Excellent. Okay.
It sounded like you were clipping, okay?
Okay. All right.
Do you have any new great hosts on BBS that started?
You know, we do have some good hosts on BBS Radio. Quite a number of new hosts. We're going to be hosting Ron Paul Radio, folks, with DJ Lottie. Ron Paul Radio is going to be up every Sunday at 3 p.m. starting next week. And we have several more coming aboard next week, and you can review the schedule to check it out. But we have a lot of fabulous new hosts. We were hoping to string a bunch more up, but we just haven't had the time with everything that's going on. Can you hear me okay? Are you able to hear me, Wynn? Wynn?
Yes?
Ah, good. There you are. I was wondering if you could hear me okay.
I can barely hear you, but you know what? I'm on the 5 freeway. I think I'm going to have to pull over because there's just too much ambient noise to do the show. We were down in San Diego today.
Right.
Well, you know, we were on Marsha McMahon's show this morning.
Yeah, that was a heck of a show.
Did you listen to that, Don?
I did. I listened to quite a bit of it.
You know, that's kind of a neat thing we're doing.
Yes.
You know, because we got people, we're driving around. We're doing, like, grid healings, energy healings at different locations. And
driving around doing it?
We did Mount Shasta. We had somebody, like, parked in Mount Shasta. We did the Denver Airport.
Right.
We did Columbine High School. And we did what was that called? It was a really high hill in San Diego that overlooked all of San Diego in La Jolla. I think it was called Soledad Mountain or something.
Ah, La Jolla. Yeah, I used to live there for a couple of years, actually.
You know about La Jolla?
Oh, yeah. I said, I lived there for a couple of years. Beautiful area.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's an amazing energy when we do those things. It blows me away because it's kind of like everyone who participates kind of goes into a really high space. And,
Well, before we get into that, I wanted to explain something to the audience. We did have a little glitch here on the late night schedule for all of you, the people that were trying to tune in to Straight from the Heart with Juliana Tibbetts and Chris Uhland. They actually believe that they're on the air and that they're streaming. Unfortunately, I hooked them up onto digitals, and one of the employees here switched the phones on me, if you believe it. So every time I got them on the phone, I would get them on the air, and then I would hang them up. So, because I didn't realize that it was a different phone that was attached to a different button. So I kept hanging up on them. I did it twice, and then the third time I got them on the air, I hung up on them again, but this time it stuck. So the two signals were crossed, and she was talking to her guest, only I was out of the loop at that point. So they're just talking away together, but they're not on the air right now. So Juliana, please forgive my ignorance.
Did she think she's on the air?
Yeah, this has happened twice before since we started BBS. that we've actually had people talking away for an hour between the two of them, thinking they were being streamed and recorded and everything's all hunky-dory. And when they get done, they read my emails, 20 or 30 emails, saying, guys, you're not on the air.
That happened last Monday, you know. The Monday before, where we did the conference call.
It's happened twice now on BBS Radio. It is just the funniest thing. And it's not really all that funny. I apologize to him, but there's really nothing I can do. I put a note up on the fast chat. I sent him a bunch of emails. There's been a bunch of calls for them. And all I can say is we can't get in touch. So, for all of you that are trying to tune into that show, thank you for coming and tuning into the Donna Wynn Show. Because we're the only people you can listen to right now. Except for Station 3.
Isn't Jara's show on right now?
No, she's there every other week, and they'll be back again next week.
Oh, they're on every other week?
Correct.
I see. We should have Jara and Dennis as a guest one weekend.
You know, you pronounce her name just like I do, Jara. It's actually Jara. But I've never pronounced her name right yet, except for just to enunciate it to you. Is that too big a word?
Hey, Don?
Yes.
No, I can hear you better now.
Okay. It's Q-tips work, don't they?
I don't know what just happened. So, we have a really interesting guest tonight. You know, on the Don and Wynn Show, you never can tell what's going to happen.
If anything's going to happen.
And that's because we don't know what's going to happen until it happens.
Yeah, that's what I love about radio. You deal with all these very powerful personalities and all these wonderful little situations that occur, but it's entertaining all the time.
Mm-hmm. So, this evening, do you have Matthew patched in now, Don? I'm here.
Matthew's
He's
with
there.
Us. Welcome.
You know, this evening, we have a young man by the name of Matthew Hart, and I'll tell you the story of how I met Matthew. About a month ago, or maybe more than a month ago, maybe 6 to 8 weeks ago, I was on another radio network called World Pooja.
Oh, you traitor.
And I was being interviewed by Maureen Moss. And she had posted up something about me on her website and had my picture of me with my sunglasses that has been my regular picture for a long time. And I got an email from a fellow named Matthew. Matthew's on the line with us. And just telling me you checked out some of my websites, and I just was really interesting, and it was very intelligent and very sensitive email. And I emailed him back, and I said just thank you, and we went, you know, and that was it until about 3 weeks ago. I got another email from Matthew, and he said he was in Los Angeles, and it was actually not to me, it was to his email list, and it's telling people that he changed his email address and he moved to Los Angeles, and that if anyone wanted to reach him, here's his new email and here's his new phone number. Now, he didn't know I was in Los Angeles, but I called him up and I said, hi Matthew, this is Wynn, nice to meet you, and I'm in LA, and I just thought I'd say hello, okay?
Right.
And so I asked him, well, what are you doing here in L.A.? And he said, well, I came here to produce movies. And we talked, and it turns out that he was in Canada, and he was producing major movies for the studios, like New Line and everything.
Oh, wow. Okay,
and,
sure.
You know, major stars.
Yeah.
And he decided he wanted to make movies of relevance and that things that would change the world. And he's gone through his own spiritual journey. And he has somewhat of a parallel awareness to you and I, where he knows that we're in this shift and that the world is in a crucial place, and so he's interested in putting things out into the world that can contribute to it, rather than another cops and robbers movie.
You know, I got to tell you, Matthew, that is, I got to give you all the accolades in the world. Why? Because when you have a look at the video store and you look on the racks, there is nothing but horror and war films. That's it. And I speak to most of the people in the video stores, and I because I enjoy a good video. That's where I get my break. Sit down and watch a video. But it's gotten so bad. Cable network, Dish, DirecTV, Roadrunner, anything on cable or anything on the shelves, it's so abhorrent that even the people that work at these video stores are quite appalled by it. And this is a global thing. It's just, it's almost like they're trying to desensitize the American public for their own little machinations.
Right.
And it's a pretty sick thing indeed, because it is prevalent, it is loud, and it is everywhere.
Right. And there seems to be a real lack of spiritually themed movies out there. I mean, they come once in a while. There's a great film that catches you and speaks to your heart, but few and far between from my perspective. And, you know, I don't want to knock the entertainment industry. I mean, I like you, I love a good piece of entertainment.
Sure.
And of course, that's my aim. I still want to create entertainment, but I just want to have, some substance to it and not just fluff, you know? So that's the idea, is to take people on a journey, entertain them, make them laugh, make them cry, just like any other piece of entertainment would do. But underneath it all, have some spiritual substance to it.
Exactly. Well, my hat's off to you, Matthew, because it's sorely needed considering the pickings out there.
Well, I might be one of the very few in Hollywood.
Probably. You know, Matthew, we're shooting our own film. BBS Network is shooting a film January 19th.
Yes.
It's going to be called Empty Rooms. And we start shooting on January 19th, our own production, and
fantastic.
We have, but again, it deals with a ghost horse story. So we're just as bad as the rest, folks. Unfortunately, the horror genre really is what they call the pounding ground.
Yeah.
If you're going to get into the industry, you need to pound into the horror, and that's the easiest way to get out and about.
Yeah, well, People do love to get scared.
They do.
Unfortunately, I've been scared in real life too many times, so now I don't want to promote that in a movie. not as the overriding theme behind it. I mean, sure, scary moments can happen in films, but that wouldn't be the genre of the film I'd be making.
Right.
You don't need a movie to make people scared. They just need a newspaper.
They just turn on Fox. Everything Bush says is religious dogma. Right? Well, it's almost like gospel. Everything that Bush says is gospel, according to Fox. So you can always turn on them. You'll see a lot of it.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you guys, and thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for being here, Matthew.
Sure.
So, Matthew.
Yeah.
You know, people are impressed about things you've done. So, you know, myself, I usually work pedal backwards, not to talk about anything I've done that would impress anyone, because then they'll be disappointed when they meet me, find out. When we did our grid healing today, you know, I was kind of master of ceremonies, and everyone was saying how good I was at keeping everything coordinated, and I just told them I'm an idiot savant, because I'm really good at multitasking in that way, but I don't know how to make a bed. And so, but you know how to make a bed. You're a guy that makes something happen, and takes the whole project together, handles all the details, and it comes out the other side completed, and you didn't get fired, and you do another one, right? So I think that's an extraordinary... I mean, making a movie is probably a job like no other job. Could we say that?
It's quite a ride. It's quite an intense ride. And, you know, funny enough, though, I was proud of what I did for a minute. several years ago, for a minute.
And, which movie was that?
That was the, you know, I have been in the industry for, oh God, 25 years, and but I've climbed my way up the ladder from, you know, the gopher or the runner all the way up to executive producing. And I guess it was maybe 5 years ago, I had my first break to line produce or executive produce and production manage a movie for Disney, and it was called, it was called Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
Ah.
And, I mean, it wasn't a great piece of high drama or anything, but it was a complicated piece, and it just so happened that it shot in Toronto when SARS hit. And if you recall, that it shut down the city, and it scared the world. And we had our movie going, and we were well into it by that point. We hadn't started shooting, but we were very close to going to camera. And when SARS hit, suddenly there was a decision at the studio level as to what to do, whether we should continue or shut down, flee Canada. but they had a sizable investment at that point in time that had already been spent. So they decided to continue forward cautiously and to start investigating other cities to run to at a moment's notice. But, you know, we had invested 3 months or 2.5 months of prep time in Toronto at that point in time, so it wasn't like we could just up and run and without suffering some serious losses.
Right.
So it was just a very difficult period for me, and I had crews working, scouting, in, I think, 4 or 5 different cities, several in Canada and a couple of options in the United States, while I was prepping to shoot in about 3 weeks' time. And long story short, we ended up staying in Toronto, and we were one of maybe 2 crews that ended up staying through and realizing that there was a lot more fear and hype about SARS than was really necessary.
Isn't that the truth?
But it was grueling. It was a grueling process, and there was so much extra to be responsible for in that circumstance, that when it was all said and done and I had survived and the movie was done on time and on budget and the studio was happy and the director was happy, for a moment I felt proud of myself. You know, it was like the only time in 20 years of filmmaking that I actually felt proud of something I had done.
And who were the stars in that movie?
That was principally Lindsay Lohan's kind of, you know, second, I guess that was her
second.
Oh,
she's a beautiful little lady.
She was a handful even then, and she was 17 at that point.
I believe it.
That was really a vehicle for her. Carol Kane was in it, and there were others, but that was really Lindsay.
Was she worried about the possibility of SARS?
Her mother was very, very frightened by it.
I would think that, you get stuck between a rock and a hard place, don't you?
Absolutely.
Because if anything goes wrong, it's going to feel like your responsibility.
Absolutely, absolutely. So there was a lot of dialogue. There was a lot of constant communication between kind of the SARS central command and our film production. We were on the pulse of what was happening out there, making sure that we weren't making a wrong decision by staying.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of hand-holding to calm the scare factor out of people, the fear mm-hmm. factor out of people.
Which we're still trying to do with all the media hyping everything from HN51 now, and a couple deaths here and a couple there, and the bird here and the dog there and the little cat over there, and watch out, the whole world's going to get it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I kind of mentioned the feeling proud, because ever since then I became aware that my professional life and my spiritual life seemed to be on divergent paths, and I think shortly after that movie, when I had some downtime to sit back and reflect and journal and meditate, I really noticed that that the gap was widening, and it was starting to be uncomfortable for me to carry on working on other people's movies, which, you know, I mean, not that Teenage Drama Queen didn't have some, you know, it certainly wasn't a horror, you know, and it wasn't a violent movie, but still, it didn't have the message that spoke to my heart contained within it. And I started to feel actual discomfort at the thought of working on films that weren't, you know, in alignment with my own understanding. And that discomfort kind of carried forward for the next 5 years, until finally my life actually was steered to pack up and head to LA. and funny enough, the first new person I met when I got to LA was Wynn.
Amazing. Well, you know, you couldn't have met a better guy. He's my co-host. I love him to pieces.
And I've only known him for a month now, but I love him to pieces myself. So we've spent a fair bit of time on the phone and together.
I can't understand why anyone loves me. I'm just a pain in the ass, you know.
Wynn serenaded me in an empty restaurant one evening and played sang his music to me.
He wasn't wearing that wig he wears, does he?
No, he didn't have the wig on.
Oh, okay.
I was auditioning, okay?
Well, it was great. I enjoyed it, and we've had a lot of fun ever since, even though it's only been a month.
So Matthew.
Yes.
What you know, most people who get into the movie industry and get to the position you were in are so seduced by the glamour and the power and all of that that they would never, ever, ever, ever risk any of that to make the kind of decision you made.
Right.
How did you come to have such a strong conviction spiritually that was more important than staying in the middle of your power and your glory, so
right.
to speak?
Well, that's a good question and a very long answer. I think I'd have to. I'll try to make it a short answer by.
Hey, listen, we got an hour. Unless you get boring, you can take as long as you want.
Well, my spiritual journey started many, many years ago. I was an agnostic. I was a kind of a science major, kind of like you, Wynn, a little bit, but I didn't carry it through to university. I was in high school. I kind of excelled at physics and math and went into a commerce program at the University of Toronto my first year. And I didn't believe in anything that I couldn't prove, or anything that couldn't be proven to me, I should say. And I had a kind of a very strange experience that involved an encounter with a ghost, for lack of a better term. That's the term the only term I understood at that time. This was 1981.
Oh, wow.
And I was just in university, and it was quite a frightening experience. And I had done a little experiment because of a story my brother-in-law had told me about some automatic writing that his sister had been involved with, not of her own volition. She woke up in the morning and found entries in her diary that she kept beside her bedside table, and it contained some very revealing personal information about other people. And anyway, this intrigued me, and I trusted my brother-in-law, and I thought, I'm going to do a little experiment. And I decided to use myself as a human Ouija board. put a pen in my hand and a piece of paper underneath me, and said in my mind, you know, if ghosts are really real, and I, for that moment in time, I believed they were because of the story my brother-in-law had told me, I said, then surely one of them can use my hand arm as an instrument and write a message to me. And anyway, this set in motion a kind of traumatic experience.
Oh yeah.
And I would never recommend this to anybody listening who doesn't have a very advanced understanding of what goes on in the spiritual realms. But like me, I understood nothing, and I was a ready-made target for a negative entity. And anyway, the experience ended up moving on to my mother's house, where this entity dislodged itself from me and stunk up my mother's bedroom in the most foul way you could imagine. And
now, was this entity writing through you at that point?
It did. It drew through me. It created pages and pages of the same symbol, which was I've now come to understand to be a symbol of the vortex.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up drawing this very large self-portrait. So it was like took about 60 pieces of paper and drew a kind of a portrait of a very strange-looking, distorted spirit being. And anyway, I don't want to go into all the depths of this experience, but it was frightening.
Wow.
And it woke me up to the fact that there were things out there that couldn't necessarily be proven to anyone other than, you know, the experience that I had myself. Couldn't replicate this experience in a laboratory. And yet still I didn't believe in a benign force at that point in time. I just believed that there were dead spirits out there that were wreaking havoc on people. if the people so opened themselves up to it. And anyway, that got my journey going. And, you know, I think I'll cut forward now to 20 years later when several other experiences had happened, and I was journaling one day, and as I had done for many years, and, you know, when I was kind of overwhelmed with feelings and didn't know how to express them, in the past I had just kind of written in a stream of consciousness fashion, and just kind of dumped whatever happened to come off my mind without reading it or going back. And after doing this for several years, one day I looked back at this material and noticed that there was dialogues happening within this stream of consciousness writing, and it didn't appear to be a dialogue that, I mean, it certainly wasn't conscious dialogue, and the more I looked at it, the more it appeared not to be coming from my consciousness at all. And one thing led to the next, and years later, I began to kind of hone that ability. And I found that in time, a spirit guide introduced himself to me. And later, that same spirit guide introduced me to my guardian angel when I started asking questions about angels. And that was about maybe, that really kind of got underway about six, seven years ago.
And now, you were in the middle of making movies, of course.
Usually what would happen is I'd make a movie and then I'd have downtime and I'd kind of question my life and go, what am I doing? And it was during that downtime often when the guidance would come through my journaling. And then, as I said, it really picked up about 6 years ago and then became very intense about maybe 4 years ago. And I had a very, very intense period of dialogue with my guardian angel that went on for about a two-year period in which I was really just being given very general guidance about how to be a better person and what's important in life. And, you know, it wasn't anything that had never been said before, but I had never pursued religion. I had always felt that religion wasn't something for me. And so in the end, you know, the messages that I received, which were, you know, probably echoed in every religion out there in some form, came through my guardian angel.
Are you happy? I mean, are you now, if you were to compare your life now with your life back then, would you say you're more satisfied, more joyous, and more happy now?
God, no comparison. I was just looking, Don, the other day at some writing I had done only about 7 years ago before this the intensity had ramped up a bit, and I couldn't even recognize myself, that the pain that then the sadness and the that was echoing through my words was unrecognizable. I couldn't conceive of how I lived that way.
That see, you're telling my story. That's the parallels are incredible. 12 years ago, same thing. Something very unusual. A lot of our audience knows about it, but I love hearing stories like this because it just shows that, you know, in our own way, we're all experiencing something way beyond our individuality and our physicalness.
Mm.
And it actually shows us the truth of who we are.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Now, Matthew,
yeah.
a question.
Yeah.
As you were getting this wise counseling from your guide, did you ever wonder if it was just yourself making it up?
Well, for the longest time I thought I called it my higher self.
Yeah,
I thought it was some aspect of myself, and, you know, as it got more and more kind of clear and well written, at one point I finally ventured out and showed my wife, who didn't know anything about it, and I said, you know, read this, will you? And even she, when she read it, she said, you know, that just sounds like you talking to yourself. So I'm like, okay, but I didn't believe that myself, but she did, so I wasn't going to take it further. But as it progressed even further, I went back to her again, and finally she said, you know, there is something going on there. It doesn't seem to be you.
So you didn't go rush off to your movie set and say, I'm getting messages.
No, it was a huge secret, in fact, that I felt embarrassed by it, actually, initially. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wasn't really comfortable with it till about a year ago. I mean, it took that long to really feel totally comfortable with it, enough that not only comfortable, but I got to a place where I felt I couldn't hide it anymore, otherwise I wasn't being true to myself. And I couldn't have this very important undercurrent happening in my life and then pretend that it didn't exist. And I decided to start a blog just so that I could convince myself that I was ready to face my truth. And that was very helpful.
Tell people what your blog is so that they can check it out.
It's www.thelifeintended.com.
I like it. Yeah.
So I what I've posted on there is some very general early angelic messages that came through, and then I've posted just general observations about my journey in the last few years, and I'm continuing to do that.
So are you married?
I am.
And do you have any children?
I have three daughters.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So.
Well, that must, you know, I got, the way it sounds is you must be quite happy. And, I mean, to have three beautiful daughters and be married and to be, joyous and to have changed your life around and to know things are, because there are many people out there that are right now feeling what you did years ago.
Mm.
And they're having to go through all that tumultuous changes.
Right.
And so, but a lot of people got it quite early. And now they're living the life that they set out to live, their path.
Right.
Yeah.
And I see more and more, you know, the more I've come out and faced my own truth, the more I'm meeting people who have been through it as well. And
sure.
It's you know, it's
magnetic.
Yeah, and it's a great comfort to meet people like yourself and Wynn and others who have been through this journey and can relate. Otherwise, it's a very lonely journey until you step out from the shadows.
It is.
You know, I started learning as I was had my book come out, and I started putting the website of the channelings that I was having. I started getting contacted by people that had voices in their head. And they, you know, many of them thought they were crazy, and yet the voices were all saying the same thing. I remember there was a woman in Santa Barbara.
It makes you think of crazy people a little differently, doesn't
yeah, exactly.
it? Those people in the rubber room that have voices in their head,
yeah.
you must...
That's right.
Yeah.
We probably should get a team of us and go to some of the asylums.
You know, I'll bet you if they did stick a team together of well, let's say professional spiritualists. I don't know what else to call them. But people that actually went to the asylums to have a look at some of these people, I think you'd get a totally different picture of them today.
Yes, you would.
I would be willing to bet that you would find some really profound channelers mixed in those asylums.
No, and a lot of wisdom.
A lot of wisdom
you didn't think was there before.
I think
never just found a way to ground it.
I think you did too, but you know, but a lot of those people have been so, you know, is inculcate the right word? Inculcated with the wrong information and with lithium and other drugs to stabilize them, that they've got a long way to go to get stable again. You know,
that's
without
right.
the drugs and
I
to
agree.
Find their true center. So they, but I'm sure you're right, Wynn. I mean, you know, a year after my ghost experience, I had another experience where it was a near death, and it's a rather long story. But the long and short of it is, I at the height of it, I was burning up with a fever, and I was conscious. I never lost consciousness, and I never lost my own sense of you know, cogency. But a spirit being showed up in my ear and started talking with me and telling me it was time to go. And just like you and I are, we're all talking right now. It was that clear and loud,
mm-hmm.
and it had never happened to me before that. And I was with my family at the time. And
it's a shocker, isn't it?
It's shocking. I started to tell them all, you know, there's somebody here trying to take me to the other side. And I convinced this being that since I was going anyway, maybe there were some questions my family could ask that I could that I could have the privilege of answering for them, you know, information that could only be
yep.
gleaned from the other side.
Yeah, I did the same thing. Yes, I did.
So, nevertheless, a doctor was rapidly called to my bedside and came in and said, you know, I've seen this in cases of manic depressives, and you know, and prescribed some kind of drug which I refused to take. But
they probably thought you were bipolar.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
yep.
That's what it was. Yes,
yep.
Absolutely. So I mean, that was the first you know, the first thing that came out of anybody out of the medical profession is here's some drugs to you know, calm this bipolar disorder.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was very real and very clear, and again, another awakening for me to know that, holy crud, look what is out there in this world that exists that we walk through our days and nights and never know about unless we, pursue it in some form.
I agree. That's right. And, you go into these clinics, and they'll prescribe you something within minutes. In fact, they might be 15 minutes late on your 30-minute or one-hour meeting, but when they get there within minutes, they'll be prescribing something to you because they get $135, or that was years ago, probably $175 drug management fee now. Of course, that's more than the fee that they charge you. So they'll want to prescribe you medication to make sure they get that management fee.
Right.
And it's criminal because I went to a psychologist, and within 8 minutes, she was 15 minutes late. And within 8 minutes of being there, she didn't know me. She asked me 3 questions and said I was bipolar, prescribed me medication, and we were out of there in about 11 minutes. And I said, well, what's the fee? They said, $135. I said, what's this $150? Well, that's a drug management fee. A drug management fee? Yes. Ah, so I grabbed the pill, went home, told my mother, and she said, throw it away. So I threw it away.
Good for her. Good for you.
Oh, yeah. I never went back. It was a one-time shot for me, and that was my experience with them.
Yeah, and mine too. But for every one of you and I, how many others take the pill?
Oh, absolutely right.
And that sets them off on a whole other journey.
Well, they're forcing it on our kids now. If they can't get the kids to take the Ritalin and everything else for all the problems that they're contriving in their little minds, their small minds, then they're going to inoculate you and vaccinate you and put something in you, anything, to keep you from, I guess, dumbing you down, really. Yeah, it's a funny world we live in today, but it is interesting. I wouldn't want to be in any other.
No, and it's changing. I really am so aware of that, acutely aware of that now, and in a very joyful way to actually feel it.
Exactly.
Feel it and see it, in spite of all that is not going well here. To actually see through the veil and see the truth of what's happening, and see the people who are stepping out of the shadows and finding their true selves. It's an exciting time to be alive.
I agree. When people tell me the times when I know that they've made a breakthrough is usually when somebody tells me I've been meditating and I've been crying during my meditations. I get emotional. That to me always tells me they've made breakthroughs. And it's usually those people that spend quiet time with themselves trying to find out who they are and what they are, and they reflect on that, they do their meditations, and they try to tune in with the prayers. And I'll tell you, those people that do get those emotional meditations tend to be those people that have really started to feel. And that's what it's about.
You're so right. I should have mentioned a pivotal part of my breakthrough after Drama Queen was when I had that time to myself and when I felt proud of myself for the first time in my life, which really was the first time in my life I actually respected myself and felt proud of what I had accomplished. And I was already 41 years old by this time. It took me that long. But I finally had the courage and the desire to write about my past with no censorship. And I sat down for a week and wrote about every negative experience I could actually remember. And fortunately, my memory is not that great. Otherwise, I might have been there for 2 months. But still, it was amazing how much I did remember. And when I remembered it and wrote it down, I actually found forgiveness for every single event I had been through. Not only forgiveness for the people who I had perceived as harming me in some way, or who really did harm me in some way, but forgiveness for myself for being party to the experience.
Yes.
And I shed so many tears that week and for the next year.
Yes.
I was constantly crying.
Yeah.
I thought, God, no one better ever read my journals because I'm constantly crying. What will they think?
But did you smeared the ink on your journal?
Absolutely.
Huh?
Well, it was a computer, thankfully, but a lot of crying, Don, and once the crying phase was over, there was a lot of happiness.
Yes. Yes.
You know, Don, you know, we should take a moment, and if anyone wants to call and ask Matthew a question.
Sure.
You know.
Let's give out the numbers, the toll-free number here, folks. If you want to call in, we're going to start taking a couple calls today. We'll actually, we'll let a couple calls in today. So if you want to give a call, it's 877-876-5227. Of course, that's in the U.S. And if you want to dial direct, it's 530-876-3222. And of course, we also have a Canadian toll-free number, and that starts with 888. I just don't remember it. You'll have to go to bbsradio.com and look it up. Just click on Station 1 where we're at.
You know, we got a Canadian on the line, and you don't remember the Canadian number.
Well, we've had to change it a few times because it seems we're having a lot of difficulty trying to get a good 800 number from Canada, and it might not even be working now. It seems to work sporadically, and same with any Canadian 800 number we've obtained, and we've went through three different firms now.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Don, maybe we could get a screen test for your mom.
A screen test?
A screen test, yeah.
What do you want to screen her for?
I think your mom would be a wonderful actress.
You know, my mother is an actress.
Yeah. I mean, Hildy, call up and this is your chance.
Not with me, Wynn. That would be the studio that would screen test. You'll have to put Don's mother in your movie.
I would do it. Don's mother, Don's mother has been a referee for Don and I over the past year. You know, we always get an email after the show saying, Don, I think you were too hard on Wynn, or Wynn, I think you were too hard on Don, or you can forgive my son, he just had a bad moment. And, we both decided that Hildy is the number one angel.
She is. My mother is an angel. I think she's always been an angel.
And it's like, if Hildy was our only listener, and sometimes I think she is, it'd be worth doing the show.
She might not, I don't know. Sometimes I think we have zero listeners.
Sometimes you think what?
We might have zero listeners. I mean, right now I'm looking at a heck of a lot of listeners, but nobody's calling in. So I'm wondering, are they paying attention, or they just got their internet on or radio on?
And then, of course, we get emails from Doug, your brother, saying, oh, what a boring show you guys did. You know, Doug, you wasted the hour. Hey, Doug. Hi, Doug. Are you listening? I mean, I'm just glad to get these emails because I know somebody's listening.
You know what, guys? I'm happy to talk with you anyway.
You're happy to talk with us.
I am.
So, Matthew, no one's calling. Anybody going to call? Here's your chance.
Yeah.
All right.
You've got a chance. We've only got another 10 minutes, folks. If you are going to call in, you know the numbers.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Here we go.
We have a call.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, hello.
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 Welcome to the Don and Wynn Show.
Well, I'm glad to be here. And it's just to confirm as well that the Canadian toll-free number is not working.
Well, there you go. It hasn't, I don't know what to say about it. It's almost a point where we might just have to do away with it and forget the Canadian. It's unfortunate, but we've been trying. We really have.
Well, everyone can always do what I'm doing, which is dial the direct line.
Excellent.
And get right through.
There
Wonderful
you go.
Show. And Matthew, interesting story. Love listening. We've been listening, and wonderful adventure. It's so interesting to hear your, because I'm from Toronto, and know the film industry quite well as well. So your stories are mean a lot when you're telling them. I'm sure you have many more.
I do. And nice to talk to you, and thanks for calling in. It's not the kind of thing you could just launch into over lunch, you know?
That's right.
Is our caller someone who's been in the film industry?
This is Dennis from DreamPath.
Oh, hi, Dennis.
Hi.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. This is with, remember you pronounced Dennis and Jara?
Yeah.
And it's Jara?
Jara, right.
Right.
You know, I was telling Don that we ought to have you and Jara on as guests one weekend, because you seem to not be scared of us, as most of the other hosts are.
Well, as we mentioned, I think earlier, we're your biggest fans. We're listening to your show almost every Saturday, except of course when we're on. And
now, how did you get through some of those shows where Don and I were just really mean to each other?
Yeah, I heard those too.
He was the one who recommended I pull some of the shows. And thank you, by the way.
Someday we'll do a compilation tape and take the worst excerpts of the shows.
The worst of Don and Wynn.
I remember the worst show that I remember from my point of view was where I had just arrived at this. I was in
Palm
Springs.
Oh, the hotel?
Yeah. It was in Palm Springs, and all the hotels were booked up, and we checked into a hotel, and I was going to get on the show right after we checked in, and we're in the room of the hotel, and it was like a reptilian habitat. I mean, the dark energy was crawling out of the wall. And I was trying to get my energy up, but it was obvious I didn't have any energy up, and I was, like, totally constricted by the energy of this motel. So I just said that. That's where I was at, but I didn't know how to get out of it. So, and if Don was not helping me that night.
No, I was having too much fun bugging you.
Yeah. Don was like attacking my weakness, right? he knew I was down and he was kicking me.
Well, you know, you're my co-host. I can do that to you and get away with it with love, right?
Well, I mean, if you're rich, you know, I may be your co-host, but you're the owner. So, I mean, you could fire me anytime you wanted. I can't fire you.
You know, I don't have that much power, folks. Don't think I do. There are a few owners here. It's a corporation. I don't quite have that punch anymore.
you mean if you wanted to get rid of me, you'd have to go through two other people?
I would have to go through several other people, yeah. Yeah.
You would. Well, you know what? Your mother is kind of an honorary member of the board, so I think she likes me. It gives me job security.
She loves you. That's why you're still around.
That's right.
Dennis, we love you. Dream Path is on, folks, every other Saturday. It'll be airing again next week.
We'll be doing the Alayla thing next week.
Oh,
so
beautiful. 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. Yeah,
that's right.
Station 2.
Well, Station 2.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Bye for now. Keep it up.
You bet.
Bye,
thank you for calling in. All right, folks, we have the line open, 877-876-5227. And, of course, the direct line, again, is 530-876-3222. So if you're out there and you want to give us a call, we'll probably get another call in here before we start our late night calling in of the light.
I hope Hildy calls us, Don.
You want my mother to call? Mom? Mom, if you're
Come
out
on,
there,
Hildy.
Give us a call.
Hildy.
Give us a call.
Come on, give us a call and join us for our calling in of the light at the end of the show, okay?
We'd love that.
Come on, Hildy.
She might not be listening tonight.
You know what? She can't be controlled either. She may figure we're pushing her.
Yeah.
Well,
so Matthew, mm-hmm. Are you working on any projects now?
You know, I've arrived here with a clean slate, and that's so I've been investing some time with Wynn.
Then I need to put you in touch with some people I know.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Because you know, if you've been in the film business that long, then you'd be a wonderful boon.
Well, fantastic.
Absolutely.
The only other project that is burning on my desk right now, in a good way, is the Fire of the Grid story. I'm close friends with Shelley Yates.
Ah,
and,
beautiful
and
lady.
And that's something we intend to do together, is her story, which is another wonderful story.
We've got a caller. Caller, welcome to the Donna Wynn Show.
Well, hello.
Mother.
What do you mean I'm not listening? I keep track of you two guys.
Mom, thank you for calling in. It's a pleasure to have you on the air again with us.
Well, I'd like to listen to Matthew, is it?
Yes, thank you, Hilby. Nice to meet you.
Yes, yes.
My mother's Austrian.
Ah.
Yes, we have beautiful sunset.
If it wasn't for Hilde, can you imagine how screwed up Don would be, considering how screwed up he is?
Well, I wouldn't say that much. I'm screwed up once in a while myself. Even so, you pretend you believe I'm an angel. I'm not really that much of an angel.
Oh, Mom, you're a glorious one.
I'm just a mother. And mothers are always angels when things go right, but sometimes they don't go so right, and then they are no angels.
Well, I'm looking forward to, actually, folks, I get to go on a little trip here and see my mother for a little while.
I'm counting the hours.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, I said my two bits, and you two guys just keep your peace. Because peace is what the whole world needs.
That's right.
Just you too.
When?
Matthew, goodbye.
Goodbye to you too.
Keep up the good works. Take care. Love you all.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, folks. That was my mother. Thank you for calling in, Mom. We always love it when you do. Thank you. All right, well, we do have a couple more minutes. We can probably take one more call real quick if someone wants to. And this is going to be a special call. This one last call will be for anybody who wants to call in the light with Winfrey and I and Matthew. We'd really appreciate it if you want to call in and hold the energy with us and spread it around. So for those of you who want to call in quick, and let's close out with the calling in of the light. We'll see if we get another caller who wants to join us in this. And when?
Don?
Yes.
So we ready?
We're just about ready.
All right. Now, you know, I'm doing this show while I'm driving on the freeway.
Well, that ought to be a trick. Can you close your eyes?
So I'm just stabilizing myself before I call in the light because Just a moment. Just changing lanes. I don't want to change lanes in the middle of calling in the light. That's not a good idea. Okay?
That's probably not a good idea.
No. So those of you that are regulars on the Don and Wynn show know that we close the show.
We do have a caller. Caller?
Hello?
Hi. Is your radio on?
Well, let me turn it off.
Thank you.
I'll quiet down a little bit. I just thought it was ironic. I have just started the last couple of weeks listening to the show. I'm very much enjoying it. But I've also been really glad to see Disney on Saturday night on TV again. And the Disney shows, and guess what's playing tonight?
What's that?
Matthew's movie.
Oh, hey, the synchronicities will keep coming.
And I thought that was pretty cool.
That is.
I appreciate you making good movies. Keep it up because that's the kind I like to.
And what's your name, caller?
I'm Jeannie. I'm in Arkansas.
Ah, Jeannie. Well, thank you. Thank you. You're going to be helping us hold the light?
Yes, sir.
And spread it around.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
And I don't have a whole lot to say except that I very much enjoy the BBS. I've just kind of discovered it recently.
Thank you. We love being here, and we love you. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, let's call in the light together. When we are over about a minute, so we got to do this fairly quickly.
Okay.
Do I need to hang up?
No, please stay with us.
Hang on and join us.
Oh, good.
Okay. Now this is a voluntary exercise, so some of you can just listen to the words, and some of you can actually go with the energy of it, and that's your choice. And if you go with the energy of it, we are invoking the light, we're invoking those positive consciousnesses on the other side to work with us and work with our planet and you name it. Father, Mother, God, we ask right now for the presence of the light to surround and protect Don, Matthew, Hildy, and that other lady on the line whose name I didn't get,
Jim.
And everyone who's listening out there all over the planet to BBS Radio. And right now, we're going to, like, let go of our negativity, whatever's negative inside of us, into the higher realms of light to be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and anchored into the center of the Earth. And all of you listening, we're asking you to volunteer for a moment to be anchors for this light energy in your location. And we see ourselves joining together on the other side of the veil, the areas where we can't see ourselves, but our intentions can manipulate the energy. And so we become a group energy, and of course this is voluntary, so if you don't want to, you don't have to, but if you're going with it and it feels right, go with the flow of the energy. We are now creating a group energy, and we invite those positive sources on the other side, those group souls, those angels, everything that wants to join us of their own free will, to join our energies. And we create a huge ball of light surrounding and touching the surface of our planet. And right now, just take a few seconds, and if you have any healing, any people you'd like to put in this light, put them in and ask that this energy go to them for the highest good of all concerned. And on that note, we wish you all a blessed week. We're a little short right now. We got Dr. Fred Bell coming up. Thank you for listening to us. Please join. We're doing a conference line on Monday at 6:30 on BBS, where if you like the energy of this calling in of the light, that whole hour is dedicated to bringing in that energy and working with it. So please join me when we do that.
And thank you. Well, we're right there at the top of the hour. We're over, and folks, I do apologize. I know I shouldn't be taking that liberty. Again, thank you for tuning in to the Donna Wynn Show. Matthew, it was an absolute pleasure having you with us.
Likewise, thank you so much.
And I hope to have you back. It was an absolute pleasure, and we will be speaking again, I hope. Thank you. Folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back with Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. You know you don't want to go anywhere and miss that show, so stick around. It only gets better at BBS.
Staying with you. Good night.
I love you.